You're listening to the Blissful Bites podcast, episode 146.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
And welcome to another foodie episode today. I am so excited to be bringing you this episode with Nancy Kalish from Pure Genius. She is a genius coming up with these absolutely delicious bars made of real ingredients and made with beans. If you haven't tried them yet, I know you're absolutely going to love them. This interview was a lot of fun for me, and of course, I love connecting with you and connecting you with really amazing entrepreneurs that are making a difference and really want to take the food industry by storm. So I hope you will connect with us and come on over to our Facebook community, which is at NicoleCulverBlog.com/community, and be sure to say hi and to give us some feedback on the episode. I really want to know what you love and what you want to see more of. So come on over to the community and let me know. Let's get right into the interview. First, let's have a word with our sponsor, ConvertKit. I'm really excited to be able to bring you a free month to ConvertKit. I started using ConvertKit back in January, and it's been really, really effective for my own email marketing. If you have a blog or you have your own business, you know email marketing is so, so important. And this platform, ConvertKit, was actually designed specifically with bloggers and small business owners in mind. ConvertKit was actually made by professional bloggers, and it has a very simple, minimal design and really powerful features that will help you grow your revenue. If you want to check out ConvertKit and you want to grow your own platform and business through email marketing, you have to check it out. When you check it out with my link, you will get a free month. So go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/ConvertKit and get your free month now. As a former health journalist and certified health coach, Pure Genius founder Nancy Kalish knew that she could only eat healthy food, but she had a very unhealthy sweet tooth. So she got to work and turned her Brooklyn kitchen into a mad cooking laboratory. Her objective was to make the most incredible tasting healthy treats ever. 1 year and hundreds of experiments and dirty pans later, she succeeded. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
I'm so happy to be here.
It kind of took a while to finally coordinate our schedule. So I'm really glad that we could finally sit down and get to know each other a little bit.
Yes, me too.
So tell us a little bit about you and Pure Genius.
Well, so I was a health journalist for a really long time, and I knew exactly what I should eat to be healthy. And yet, I do have that terrible sweet tooth, as you mentioned earlier, and I couldn't really find anything in the health food store that called to me, really kind of came up to my standards, you know, ingredient wise and not too much sugar and actually tasted like a real treat. So I was just trying to find something just for myself and my family. I have a very picky eater for a kid who really wanted something delicious. And in any case, so I finally, after a long experimenting, I was working with beans and brownies, and I got the beany taste out of the brownies, and they tasted incredible. And of course, people kept saying to me, oh my gosh, you should really try to market these. And I thought to myself, that sounds like a great idea, and how hard could that be? Right? So I took a gigantic leap of faith, and I, really not knowing anything about the food business, I booked a booth at a big trade show called Expo East, which is one of the big natural food and products trade show in Baltimore every fall. It was a few months away. I booked a booth, and I thought, I have 5 months to get ready. No problem. Anyway, I found out, needless to say, exactly how hard it is to start a food business and launch a product or two. And we did make it to Baltimore, literally down to the last second. I went down to Baltimore without any products to my name at all. That's how we cut it, how close we cut it to the edge. And, but they were FedEx down to me. I gave out brownie samples and blondie samples. We were a big hit. We wrote our first orders and, we were noticed by Whole Foods down there, which turned out to be a very important thing.
I love that you said this. And I told you before that I also have a food company, a granola company. And I think it's that like optimism and that blindness that just allows you to do this. Cause if you knew everything that it took to get a product to market and then sell it, I doubt a lot of people would actually go into this business.
It's true. You know, one thing I've really learned from this is, something really, it's going to sound very, depressing at first, because something really terrible pretty much goes wrong every single day in this business. Something awful happens, you know, a machine breaks down, a delivery doesn't happen, something else. But what you learn is to kind of roll with the punches and just solve the problem and go on. Experience for me. Starting this company, because I've had to learn how to be very zen. And just not get too excited, and it's made a big difference. You know, I finally learned, and it's been good for me.
Yes, 100% all of that. So, why beans in brownies? What made you actually go that route? And I know we said at the beginning in your introduction that it took you hundreds of hours to get this recipe right, but I can't imagine that it was actually very easy to get beans into a product and to make them stabilize for a long period of time that you don't have to worry about molding or anything when you have such a pure product.
Yes. So I had heard a little bit about desserts made with black beans, and the Japanese use black beans in desserts. And I had tasted a few of them and been intrigued. And I, you know, just like anybody else trying a new recipe, I love to cook, I love to bake. And I went on the internet and, you know, there were some recipes, and I tried them and they were awful. They smelled like beans. They tasted like beans. It was not good. But there was something that they had. The recipes I was trying were for black bean brownies. And they were pretty awful. But they also had this absolutely incredible texture. And I thought to myself, wow, if I could just somehow get that beany taste and the beany smell out of there, I would really have something amazing. I tried working with bean flours and I didn't really like it because I actually felt I had more obstacles to overcome with those. They were less tasty. They were smelly. I eventually switched over to chickpeas, which are more neutral than black beans, less beany. I have to say, I love sweets. I love brownies. My husband is a saint and was willing to taste a lot of brownies. And originally, I just kind of did it as a project for myself, you know? And the closer I got, though, you know, the more intent I was on finally getting the flavor out of there. And it was a lot of work. It was not only the ingredients, it turned out to be the order of the ingredients and the way they're processed and all kinds of stuff like that. So it wasn't that easy. But now I cracked the code and it makes it, really, beans, it turns out, are wonderful, as because they have this incredible, luscious, moist, slightly underbaked brownie quality that they give baked goods. They are not that easy to work with as far as shelf life goes. I did find out that we, at first, our shelf life was like a week, which meant it wasn't getting on the shelves, period. There was no shelf life because it wasn't going to get on the shelves. But I did a lot of research. So before this, I had been a health writer, so I was used to reporting and doing a lot of research and digging into studies and stuff like that. And I did find a bunch of studies about these incredible herb oils like oregano and rosemary and how they have really quite outstanding antioxidant properties. And while I was very doubtful at first, and I certainly didn't want to add a lot of oregano or anything to my brownies, I did experiment, and lo and behold, the brownies were lasting with a tiny bit of oregano oil that was kind of much, much less than you'd ever actually be able to taste. And they were lasting and lasting and lasting. And then I sent it to the, you know, to an actual lab for real tests. And we got up to 5 weeks, and that's where we are right now.
Wow. I would never have known that. So that's really interesting. And we also used to produce these little nut balls, and they lasted a lot longer than a few days, but they didn't last that long. And we kind of learned the hard way when we were really starting out and we didn't know anything. So I can definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, but it's true. And if you start looking for it, there's actually a lot of, there are a lot of natural preservatives or, you know, shelf life extenders out there. So I'm trying now I'm looking at packaging solutions to try to bring things a little further along, because I really am very adamant about not adding any artificial preservatives to my products. And so now I'm looking at a packaging solution, which is expensive, and we're in test now, called modified atmosphere packaging. Have you ever heard of that?
Is that where they kind of speed it up?
Well, what they do actually is they suck the oxygen out of the packaging and they insert inert gas, which is like carbon dioxide and nitrogen. It's a mix. And it doesn't get absorbed at all by the product. But because you've sucked the oxygen out, which is what causes spoilage, without adding anything to your product, it will enable you to get a much longer shelf life.
Interesting. I'm sure. Do you have any, because we were talking about that fail Friday thing. So I always, before we get into like that really proud moment you've had, I would love it if you would share one particular like flop or disappointment. I'm sure we all have tons of them, but if you could share a story just to show like, yes, there's really high highs, but we all have those low moments as well.
Yes. Well, what immediately comes to mind, which was, so we had just, we had gotten into Whole Foods Northeast, which was like 35 stores in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I was so thrilled, right? So, and we shipped our first batch of product to them. And because we want to maximize our shelf life, Whole Foods requested that we, after we bake our product, we freeze it right away. And then it's delivered to the store, still frozen, and they do what's called slack it out on the shelf. And what that means is they take it out of their freezer when they're ready to sell it, you know, when they run out of product, they put more on, and it defrosts right on the shelf in less than an hour. And I had never heard of this before, but it's actually what's done all the time with bread, with, you know, loaves of bread. That's exactly how bread is delivered. It's delivered frozen, and then it's defrosted right on the shelf at the store. So anyway, our product was supposed to be kept frozen from the time that it left our bakery to the time that it arrived at Whole Foods. Unfortunately, our distributor, which is the middleman, that's the, you know, the company that actually takes the product from your bakery to stores, the actual truckers, because of a coding error in their warehouse, they did not keep it frozen. It defrosted, and when my first you know, order at Whole Foods arrived, it was already spoiled. And it was just horrible. And we found out about it late on a Friday afternoon. And I had to run around along with a bunch of other people who work with me and some volunteers to all the Whole Foods in the tri-state area and pull the product from the shelves because it was spoiled. That was a really low. I I'm not trying to sound over dramatic. When I heard that and when we realized what happened, I literally almost fainted.
I can definitely understand it. It's probably one of those moments where you're like, for 5 minutes, you're like, okay, should I just pack it all in right now?
Yeah. So that was really bad. What had happened basically was that the warehouse had kept it for about at least a month in their warehouse at room temperature, and it used up all the shelf life so that by the time it got to Whole Foods, it was completely, you know, it was stale and it was no longer good. But we overcame that. We had to give Whole Foods a lot of free product to make up for it. We managed to overcome it, and now we're in those Whole Foods and selling really well. And we actually got into another region of Whole Foods recently, which is the South, which is like the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, and we're doing well there as well.
That's awesome. So what was the lesson? Because I know there's always a lesson. What was the lesson that you pulled out of that really difficult experience?
Well, if there is a lesson, I think it is that we were a little too timid in checking up on things. Basically, our first clue that something was wrong was that the product just wasn't in the freezer at Whole Foods, and they couldn't find it at the store, which was a bad sign. And there had been some mix-up. And we were like, maybe the distributor got hung up, or we tried to believe for a while that nothing was going wrong and that we didn't have to investigate. And I wish I had jumped on it a little bit sooner and demanded to know exactly where the product was. I was so thrilled to be in Whole Foods, and I was so thrilled to be with this distributor that I was almost intimidated to call them and demand to know where my stuff was.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we don't want to feel annoying or like we're interfering, but really you're just basically being an advocate for your product and for your company.
Yes. And then I also had another setback, which I'll tell you briefly, and I'm actually glad you asked me this question because my other setback was that we didn't get a trademark on our name. So as of January, we actually have to change our name of our company. And I learned a little lesson there as well too. So the new company name as of January 1st is going to be Rule Breaker Snacks. And the stuff is going to look exactly the same and the same branding and all of that. But the lesson there was that I went with a pretty inexpensive kind of, you know, almost do-it-yourself trademark attorney and thought as a reporter, oh, I can research this. And, you know, and I researched our trademark and I thought there was nothing conflicting and that it was no problem. And then it takes like a year to hear from them and I didn't get it. And it's a very important thing to have from perspective of protecting your brand and maybe at some point having investors and they like to hear about that you have your trademark. So I'm going through the process of a name change, which is difficult. And although it would be way more difficult, you know, next year or the year after we've grown a bit more. So I wish I had, you know, really been a little bit more careful and a little less blasé about the whole trademark issue from the start.
I feel for you because that I'm sure that it's also very expensive because you're changing packaging, and I know how much the packaging and the website and all that
It is. I mean, it has been. I mean, again, it's one of those things I'm trying to stay zen about and give myself over to it. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to, everything's always so expensive. And one of the challenges, as you probably know from running your own business, is, you know, you have a limited budget, where are you going to put it? That came up when I was first researching trademarks, and I met some guy who said he was a trademark attorney at an event, and he seemed inexpensive, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go with you. I researched the trademark. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And it turns out that they do that. A real attorney, he was a real attorney, but somebody who is really well versed in trademark law does an extremely thorough search that they actually have to outsource. The attorneys have to outsource. And it does cost a few thousand dollars. I didn't even know such a search existed. And that's the only thing that you have to do that if you're going to file for a trademark, because that's the only way of finding out everything.
Well, I'm sure that you will be even better off, and it will be 100% the right decision for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel good about it. And luckily, I don't know if you've ever seen our packaging, but we have branding and colors, and we're keeping everything exactly the same except for the logo, the new logo Rule Breaker, which fits exactly where Pure Genius did. And so I think as long as people recognize the packages, that it'll be a little easier.
100%. So now we talked about two difficult times that you've obviously overcome, that you will overcome come the new year. Can you just share your most proud moment so far in building Pure Genius?
Sure. Well, so we launched at that trade show that I was talking about earlier, Expo East, in September 2015. And this year, at the same show, a year later, we won something called the Nexty, which is an award for the best new sweet or dessert at the show. And it's a gigantic show. There's a lot of competition. And it was really thrilling. I have a little acrylic award sitting on my desk right now, which is actually really inspires me when I look at it. So that was great. And we got an enormous amount of attention from retailers, and, you know, all of a sudden all these retailers, big retailers, wanted to talk to us and talked about us as being an innovative emerging brand. And so that's been really exciting. And every single time, honestly, I have not gotten tired of this. Every single time I go into a store and I see the product there, and sometimes it's by accident, I don't even realize it's going to be in a particular store, I am beyond thrilled. It's just really, it's really exciting to me still.
It is. It's a really special experience when you see your product on shelves over and over.
So I never get tired of it. So, you know, again, and every time I get some kind of little, you know, an email from someone who's tried it, especially one of the things that's been also kind of difficult, but I'm really glad I did, is we decided early on, we're, you know, not only do we have beans in it, but we're allergen free. So that means we're gluten free, and we're free of the other top 8 allergens like soy and nuts and all those things. And so that was really, I decided early on, before I ever found a facility to manufacture my products, that that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be something that everyone could enjoy. We're also kosher and non-GMO too. So I really wanted to kind of check off all those boxes. That has turned out to be very difficult, because there are very few places that are set up that are actually dedicated allergen-free facilities to make products like mine. And also it is harder to find ingredients that are well priced, because every ingredient has to go through, you know, this filter of, okay, is it gluten-free? Is it allergen-free? Can it be made in a facility that also processes nuts? Is it non-GMO? Is it kosher certified? I go through this whole long list. So if I want to try a new brand of vanilla extract, I have to go through an entire thing to make sure that it's okay first. So, but I'm really glad I did it, but it is constraining. It's like a little handcuff.
Yes. And I don't think people who just don't know about the food industry, it does take a lot. And that's why products like yours, they might be a little bit more expensive, but you're paying for that quality.
Yes, you know, it's true. I mean, honestly, it's so funny, between the ingredient costs are tremendously high, and especially ironically, when you're first starting out, like before you scale and you're able to take advantages of buying larger quantities of things, when you can least deal with it, the ingredients are at their most expensive because all you can afford are smaller quantities. So finally, after you're in business, we're getting to a point where our ingredients are, we're able to buy more of them at a time, and they're coming down in price as a result. And we're actually hoping that we're going to be able to reduce our retail price a little bit.
Yes. So what has been a successful marketing technique for you, whether it was a giveaway or working with bloggers?
So I think there's been two things that have been really we crunched the numbers actually the other day, and we figured out that blogger giveaways are huge for us. They really are. We do a lot of them. We've probably done hundreds, I'm not kidding. And the bloggers are great, and the giveaways generate a lot of interest, as well as we always give discount codes for our website so that people can, you know, who have seen the product can also order it at a discount. So that's one thing that's been very big for us. And social media certainly is really important. The other thing that's turned out to be extremely important is in-store demos. So we do hundreds of demos a year at Whole Foods, as all the Whole Foods that we're in, as well as lots of all the independents that we're in, and being right there at the store and being able to have people taste the product, and we give out lots of free samples, has been really great, because then if they like it, they can just go buy it there. We also give out coupons for, either money off or sometimes even a free product.
I love that. And how do you find, because I know that this business is a crazy business and it's very demanding. How do you find balance in your day, your week, your month to make sure that you're not completely overworked and you're still happy?
Well, I'd say it's a work in progress, Nicole, but I'm trying. I wrote a lot about balance as a health journalist. So again, that's one of those things, like just like eating right, I know exactly what I should be doing. okay, one of the things that's actually been helped me stay in balance is I get up really early. I'm at my desk at usually around 5 a.m., which sounds horrible, but it's not. It's wonderful. It gives me a couple of very quiet hours to answer emails, to do research, to be thoughtful before my crazy day begins. I also really I have a dog, and so he's fantastic for keeping, you know, for making sure I get a lot of exercise during the day. I have to take him out, and he's a young, playful pup, and he wants to be played with a lot. So that's good and distracting in a good way for me. And I also try to, I'm a big fan of Pilates. And so I really try to, I found this Pilates studio that's within a 5-minute walk from my house, and I go often. And so that's been really good. And I've given up on things that right now are just not going to work for me. Like, as much as I love to cook, and I used to cook extremely elaborate dishes for dinner, that's not happening for me. And it puts a lot of pressure on me, frankly, to expect that of myself. So I've decided to be, luckily I live in Brooklyn, where there are a lot of amazing restaurants that do incredible and healthy takeout. And so I allow myself to indulge in that rather than putting all the pressure on myself to stop work at, you know, earlier than I'd like and have to cook dinner.
I can definitely relate to that because I also get up at 5 a.m. every morning, but the dinner thing, we don't do takeout a lot, but I used to definitely make very intricate meals. And now it's like, okay, what can I make in 20 minutes that's healthy and easy? So I love that you said something's got to give. You can't do it all. So taking that pressure off yourself from one area is huge.
Yes. And what I noticed, one place I love, in Brooklyn makes these vegetable noodles. So they're noodles out of, you know, zucchini or sweet potato. And I did just notice that Whole Foods and some other places are starting to stock those noodles, which are very quick to cook up with a sauce. And I was thinking that that's what I would, you know, I'd be fine with doing is a meal that takes 10 or 15 minutes to prepare. That would be fine with me. But
yeah,
myself a pass on the really, oh, and then when, you know, like, so Thanksgiving is coming up, and it used to be that I was expected to I didn't host Thanksgiving, but I was expected to bring an enormous number of dishes to my aunt's house. But luckily, now all anybody wants are blondies and brownies, and I already have those made.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Is there any last thing you want to tell the listeners and your followers about your company that you think they don't know yet?
Well, we are really committed to not just making healthy stuff, but healthy stuff that also tastes great, because nobody wants a healthy dessert that tastes too healthy. So I'm in the kitchen a lot trying to figure out the intersection between health and deliciousness and hit it just right. And I have a lot of fun doing it. It's a great time.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, and tell everyone where they can find you and Pure Genius on your website and social media.
Yes. So it's at, our website is puregenius.com. Provisions, that's provisions.com. And we're also on Amazon. And we are sold in Whole Foods in 10 states. There's a lot of other smaller stores, and there's a store locator on our website as well.
And where can we find you on social media?
Yes, our social media is Enjoy Pure Genius. And Pure Genius Provisions on Facebook, but Enjoy Pure Genius on Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on today. You were so much fun.
Thanks, Nicole. I had a great time.
You can find all information about Nancy and Pure Genius in our show notes at NicoleCulverblog.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Blissful Bites podcast. If you like this episode, subscribe to the podcast so you can hear more inspiring interviews and a helpful business tip.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.